Right, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. The title of my work is The Effect of Provenance, Growth and Storage Agroecology on the Timing of Sprouting in Yam. My name is Hamadina. I'm a postdoctoral fellow of African Women in Agricultural Research and Development, and I'm also a lecturer at the university. Of course, authors of this paper are Peter Crawford, who is now in NIC Research, and Dr. Asiedu, who is an IT. Yams are eaten all over, from West Africa to South America, and it's an important crop. Among the yam species, that's Scoria rotundata is the most popular species. Now, but one problem faced by many yam scientists is the fact that the duration to sprouting is very long. Now, the implication of that is that it takes too long for breeders to breed an improved variety. Also, it means that yams can only be grown once a year, and then that has an implication on the number of tubers that are available for consumption and trade. And so all put that together, it then means that the yams becomes very expensive, particularly in times like this when population is increasing dramatically. So scientists are trying hard to find methods that can shorten the duration. The other problem faced by many scientists is that the duration varies widely, and the implication of that is that the reproducibility of results becomes tricky. So we need to find methods of shortening the duration. Now, to do that, we must understand the factors that control the timing of sprouting in yam. Now, there are many hypotheses put forward, but the one we're going to follow for this particular presentation is the theory that says that the timing of sprouting is under environmental and ecological control. Some works have shown that many varieties, some species of yams, particularly those that originate from the savannah region, will take a longer time to start sprouting, perhaps because of the dry season in those regions. And also then the species that originate from the rainforest agroecological zones tend to sprout much faster. Now, so we then want to ask these questions. Is the time to sprouting in Scoria rotundata related to provenance? Is the time to sprouting related to storage and growth agroecological conditions? Do yam tubers keep memory of a previous storage location? Now, this is very important because some work has shown that when tubers are moved from one agroecology to another one, they tend to maintain the time of sprouting in the new agroecology. So one thing we do know for sure is, for instance, in Nigeria, is that the Scoria rotundata can grow across three agroecological zones. And that the Guinea savanna, GS, the Moist savanna, MS, and humid forest. The characteristics of these agroecological zones is that around the Guinea savanna, you have the rains beginning a bit later than in the humid agroecological zones. And then the duration of the rainy season is much shorter than the duration of the rainy season in the humid forest. Humidity across the locations also vary widely. However, there is only small difference in temperature. So the objective of this work is to determine the effects of provenance on the timing of sprouting in the Scoria rotundata and to quantify the effects of growth and storage environments on the timing of sprouting. To do this, we had to collect some stable varieties from the various agroecological zones, and then so for land races collected around the Guinea savanna in green, they were collected and then they were stored and grown in a location, an IITA station in a location called Abuja, And then the land wastes that were collected from the Moist Savannah Agroecological Zone were grown and stored for the experiment in a location called Ibadan. And then those collected from the Hubert Forest in Green were all stored at an ITA station in a location called UNE. To enable us to achieve the objective of this study, we had to really conduct a very huge experiment. And that experiment required us to use to do some reciprocal transfer of tubers from one agroecological zone to another. In this case, where we had nine land races originating from the humid forest, and then five from the savannah, and eight from the Guinea savannah. So what we did with this in the first year of the study was to grow all of the land races in their respective agroecological zones. So these ones were grown at a site called One in the humid forest. And then all of those collected from the Moist Savannah were grown in Ibadan in the Moist Savannah region. Now, when they matured and at harvest, we then had to collect the tubers, shed them into three equal parts, and a part of each land race in each agroecological zone was then transferred to either of the three storage storage locations in order for us to carry out the storage one experiment. At the end of the storage study, all of the land races were again shared into three equal parts, and then a part of each land race in each agroecological zone was again transferred reciprocally into all the other locations to enable us to carry out the growth study. Again, this was becoming very tricky. Now, at this point, then we also had to, after growth and harvest of the tubers were again shared into three equal parts and then fed from each land race in each agroecological zone in its storage zone was then taken and sent to one of the three storage locations to enable us to check out the effects of storage two. Now, what we did was to store them in the barns, and then we recorded the dates of sprouting for each of these tubers. We monitored temperature and relative humidity, and then the data gotten was analyzed as a 3x4 nested factorial. That was huge. Now, we had three provenances with all of the land races nested in the provenance, and then three storage locations, which we've called storage one, and then growth locations, three of them, and the last time the storage locations, and that's described as storage two. The individual tubers were used as replicates, and over 6,000 data points were used for this analysis. To further evaluate the effect of storage environment and growing temperature at this time on the data sprouting, we analyzed that using thermal time with 10 degrees C as the base temperature. The results show that minimum temperature would vary across the locations. So at the Guinea savannah, we had temperatures that were slightly lower than those in the humid forest zone. Relative humidity also varied across the locations, and this was the case in both storage years, storage one and two. In contrast, the minimum air temperature during the growth season, the growth period, did not vary across locations, as we see. Now, one thing we also found was that the average sprouting dates ranged from 34 days of the year to 76 days of the year. Now, analyzing this data and looking at the third and the most important aspect of the analysis of various tables, we would see that provenance, PRV, had no significant effect on the timing of sprouting and did not interact with any of the other factors. Similarly, storage one also did not have any significant interaction and did not also contribute significantly to the timing of sprouting in yam. Interestingly, we found that storage 2 had a very huge influence on the timing of sprouting of yam. That was quite huge. And then there was some very interesting interaction between storage 2 and growing environment. Now, that interaction shows that when all of those yam tubers, irrespective of their agroecology of origin, when they are stored in the Guinea savanna, they will tend to sprout at about the 63rd day of the year. Now, this is in contrast to those that were stored in Onere, which is a site in the humid forest, which would sprout at 45th day of the year. But between these, there's an 18 days difference in the time of sprouting. That means you have 18 days earlier sprouting if tubers are stored in Onere in the humid forest. There was a smaller difference in time of sprouting when tubers were grown in either of the locations. You had a slightly earlier sprouting in the humid forest as compared to that in the Guinea savanna, though this was quite small and not very significant. Now, but very interesting is the interaction between storage location and growing environment, where when the tubers are both grown and again stored in the same location, you tend to have the duration of sprouting becoming even much, much earlier. And in this case, you had the tubers then sprouting at the 36th day of the year, as opposed to 66th day of the year for tubers that were both grown and then stored again in the Guinea savanna. And then this is then implying that that's more of a condition that does not kind of encourage sprouting that much. So we then wanted to see how temperature might affect this. And then we found that thermal time in degree C accumulated between planting and sprouting time, or the thermal time accumulated between the time in storage and the time to sprout, did not relate to the date of sprouting. And that was using average temperature. Now, I suppose that if we use minimum temperature, which is something I've also tried, I guess you have something more interesting. Now, this suggests that the observed effects of storage and growing environment on timing of sprouting may not be related to a simple count mechanism driven by average temperature. Because storage 1 did not significantly modulate sprouting date, suggests that yam tubers may not have a mechanism for keeping memory of the effects of a previous storage condition. Provenance also did not significantly affect sprouting time. Indeed, we found that there were both long and short duration to sprouting time land races in all of the provenances, in which case we think that farmers may consciously or unconsciously have selected for land races that would fit their needs. In conclusion, we say that by growing them and storing them again in the same location, for instance, like in Onere, which is a humid forest agroecological zone, sprouting can then occur 30 days earlier than usual. The second will be to promote the reproducibility in time of sprouting. We suggest that sprouting studies be done on tubers that have undergone the same previous storage and growing conditions. Tuber provenance per se does not explain the timing of sprouting in Duscaria, and so perhaps the start of the rains or the duration of the rainy season may not be a cue to the timing of sprouting. The effect of a storage environment appears to be forgotten after planting. Now, that's very interesting, because it then means that when you take your tubers about from one agroecological zone to the other, you can just sleep because they'll forget as soon as you put them in the ground. Thank you very much for listening.